Iran's oil minister has been elected the new president of OPEC.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. It's the first time in more than 3.5 decades that Iran will lead the oil cartel OPEC. But what does it mean for the rest of the world and the oil coming from OPEC? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So does this mean OPEC's going militant?
Well, this sounds more worrying than it is. The presidency is largely a symbolic role. It doesn't really decide the cartel's tactics or strategy. That's determined by the majority of the group, and that is strongly influenced by the biggest producer, Saudi Arabia.
And OPEC just wrapped up its meeting in Vienna, Stephen. Are member nations happy with the current price? What is it, $80, $82 a barrel?
That's right. Well, you have on the one hand the militant minority, Iran, Libya, Algeria, Venezuela, all complaining about the fall in the value of the dollar. Oil is priced in dollars, so that's hit the purchasing power of their commodity. Those countries are calling for a price of $100 a barrel to compensate. But Julian Lee of the Center for Global Energy Studies says that's not the majority view.
The majority of OPEC recognizes that $80 a barrel in the current global economic environment and probably in any economic environment is an extremely good price for their commodity.
In fact, he says, given the fragility of the global economic recovery, $80 a barrel is probably too high a price.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is worried about expected cuts to Britain's defense budget. She says all NATO countries must make appropriate contributions. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from London.
A reduction in the defense budget is expected. Britain is one of the few NATO countries that spends 2% of its GDP on defense. But Secretary Clinton says defense cuts could send the wrong signal to other European allies.
NATO has been the most successful alliance for defensive purposes in the history of the world, I guess. But it has to be maintained. Now, each country has to be able to make its appropriate contributions.
But critics say defense budgets are poorly managed. Tim Banfield's with the National Audit Office, which monitors public spending.
The Minister of Defense's decision-making processes and budgeting processes are poor, so they're committing to more projects than they can afford.
Meantime, US Defense Secretary Robert Gates, en route to a NATO meeting in Brussels today, expressed worry that as US allies cut their defense spending, the more people will look to the US to cover whatever gaps are created. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stock markets are all over the place ahead of a much-anticipated speech by the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, investors wanting to know what the Fed will do to kickstart the world's biggest economy. Wall Street yesterday featured a little selling. The S&P and NASDAQ lost 0.33% or less. The Dow was basically flat.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
We'll get the consumer price index and some retail sales numbers later in the morning. Those indicators, of course, will provide a small snapshot of the economy. But in Colorado, one community wanted to go deeper. Marketplace's special correspondent David Brancaccio has a new beat called Economy 4.0. And today he looks at community indicators, a way to get a sense of what's working and what's not.
The first thing you need to know about Boulder County, Colorado, is that on average, it's rich. Household income is the 12th highest in the country, but a charity here wanted to go deeper.
It is much more diverse than people think.
Morgan Rogers at the Community Foundation of Boulder County calls herself a numbers geek. She combed through statistical data to create a numbers-based portrait of the area. Percentage of hybrid cars, 2%. Charitable giving, below the national average. And guess what? People in poverty, 11%. Then there are the public schools, where the performance of Latino students severely lagged the rest of the school population.
It surprised a lot of people. We have some kids who are showing up in first grade who can read, who know their numbers, and we have other kids that are showing up who have barely held a crayon, and they're all in the same classroom together with one teacher.
Shamed into action by the alternative indicators, educators, parents, and politicians focused on the preschool years, where data show many Latino students get little formal education. Dennis Vigil is co-director of the nonprofit PASO, Providers Advancing School Outcomes. It's about helping the people who watch the preschoolers.
They are taken care of by their neighbor, the children are, or by a grandparent or an aunt or something like that, but they don't receive any educational support. They watch a lot of television, I'll say that much.
PASO expands the educational repertoire of caregivers through in-home visits and Saturday sessions like this one. Here, caregivers use a giant bingo game to help little ones match numbers. But PASO's program was running out of money. Spurred by the community indicators, the foundation was able to drum up support for its biggest ever grant, which in turn leveraged $630,000 more from the state. 600 preschoolers now have caregivers with the special training. The theory is that communities have to measure the right things to stand a chance of getting the outcomes they want. In Boulder, Colorado, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And finally, all the week's business news in a neatly packaged poem. We call it the Marketplace Minute. And for one last time, here's Bill Radke.
I could talk about unemployment's rise or the dollar's demise or the deficit size or gold's new highs or the Nobel Prize or maybe Pfizer's consolidation with a corporation that makes pain medication for an aging nation. Either way, the truth is I'm leaving this station. Gonna relocate to my old home state so dozens of cousins can have a play date. Be as well as can be. Thanks for listening to me, and best wishes to Marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. Good luck, Bill, in Seattle. We're going to miss you. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at Marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hotels have started asking guests to go green. Let them save water and electricity by agreeing to fewer room cleanings. The housekeeping staff? Yeah, not too excited.
Most people who assertively care about preserving the environment are the kind of people who would also care about the jobs and livelihoods of the workers in the rooms that they stay in.
I'm Kai Rizdal. When going green isn't so good for workers, it's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.